Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Welcome in. Finally, we've been having some major internet problems here, so don't know. We've got to look into that. But we apologize of being. How many minutes are we late now, partner?
Almost 20? Only 45 minutes.
Good God.
It is 12 o'clock somewhere.
Jiminy crickets. Well, welcome in, everybody. Happy Saturday to all of you.
It's Sunday now.
It's now Sunday. Yes. It is. It's the next day. Absolutely. And this is your Weekly Dose podcast, we think.
And we thank you for sticking around for us today as we kept you waiting here to stream live to you from Orange County, where if you're new to Your Weekly Dose, this program's about having fun and building suspense. We recap our past week experiences and enlighten your day through laughter.
That's right, yeah. You know, all the things that connect us all. No, that's your line. That's right. Laughing at all the things that we experience in everyday life. Like right now, screwing up our intro that we read. And we can't read it because, what the hell, I had to wear my glasses on. But, you know, the embarrassing things, like right now. Like the silly things, like right now. Like the awkward things, like right now. Yeah, even the things that we're afraid to talk about, but we still do.
And as someone said moments ago, the things that connect us all, the things that make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
Oh, good God. Thank God it is. And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are a part of the show. So join in the conversation. You can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
All of our listeners are older just by waiting for us today.
Oh, my God.
They can send a message through Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Yeah, they can. And, you know, the other ways, too, like Facebook. Find us there at Your Weekly Dose.
Or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah. And we've got a pretty good show for you guys today. We've got sports coming up in, I don't know, about 10 minutes or less. Because, you know, that's what the time we normally do it.
Yeah.
We do have What's Trending. And, of course, we got National Cheese Day, Squirrel Facts, 10 Things Not to Do at Costco. And something special dealing with Bon Jovi on the 40th anniversary of the release of the first record. And a pocket-sized cinema as well. Of course, the game at the very end. Who knows? We might not get any of it in. We might get it all in. We'll know. We'll see. Exactly. Anybody got to leave early today?
No.
No.
Then, shit, we're going to overtime. All right. There we go. You're going to get the whole show just a half hour late.
You can always download past shows for free from our website.
They're on time.
Yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, you can look us up on iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose. And please tell the world what you think of us. So rate and review the show, please.
Yeah, say nice things right now, especially about this show. So, yeah, today's theme song, though, is Let It Ride by Bachman Tender Overdrive in the honor of drummer Robbie Bachman, who passed away recently, if you guys didn't know that. And don't forget, any of the songs that we play on our show, you can always go to our main sponsor, which is Amazon, because they love us, because every time you go there to our website, you just click on the Amazon banner, bookmark it, and shop to your heart's delight. That way we get a little ching-ching, and we stay on the air for us overall. And, yeah, it's very, very exciting. We love the whole thing. So, because when you talk to Amazon, you know, you just want to tell them,
shut up and take my money.
Exactly. Mm. And that way they do, you know, and then you hear this. Because after that, you did this.
What did I do? Oh, I was clicking.
Double clicking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Double
buy now.
Because you got to buy now and everything. So, exactly.
Buy with one click.
Buy with one click. So, yeah, exactly. Guys, we're so sorry. We were having major, major internet problems. We were trying to log on. We couldn't log on. And then after that, when we tried to log on, it said no. Mm-hmm. And we went, yes.
Please.
And it went, no. And we went, yes.
Please.
And it went, no.
And then you go to reset your password, and then it says you can't use your old password as a new password.
Yeah.
And so you have to come up with a new password.
Right.
And that took us forever to come up with a password.
Well, just to get into it. Yeah, because we got, what do we want to name it? I don't know.
We were brainstorming. Oh,
password.
Pitching ideas, yeah.
Password, yeah. 1, 2, 3.
Password, one, yeah.
Yeah.
But with an at sign for the A,
well,
so
sure.
They'll never guess that.
Actually, we used that at one of my...
Did you?
Yeah.
Dollar signs for guesses and...
Yeah, it's actually, yeah. Password is with the at sign in it, so...
Yep.
Won't say where, but yeah, it's for...
Trickery.
Those hackers will never...
They'll never know.
Never guess it.
Kind of reminds me of that whole scene also, like with Spaceballs. Where he goes, what's the combination for the airlock for the planet Druidia?
Uh-huh.
And he goes, one, two, two, three, four, five. So the combination is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's the stupidest combination I've ever heard. That's kind of like something an idiot would have on his luggage. Then later on in the movie, whatever, Mel Brooks comes in, you know, as Mayor Scrooge, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he goes, did we get the combination? Yes, sir, we did. What is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's amazing. That's the same combination I have on my luggage.
Yep. Classic.
So good. So good. I can't wait. It's supposed to come, I think it's already out now, but the History of the World Part 2.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that
on
last
Hulu.
Week. Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
I got to look that up.
I want to see. I can't wait. I saw the trailers. The trailers look really, really good.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It looks all star cast again on everything, you know, and it does cover more of the modern history of things and so forth, as well as the ancient history like the old one did.
Yeah.
You know, but oh my God, it looks really,
that'll be fun.
Really good.
That'll be fun.
And I think it's going to work out as like a Fortnite thing anyway. Because if you look at the movie, like Paul was talking about last week, it's kind of cut up into those segments, so you can kind of break
like
it up a little bit.
Sketches and shorter.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Do you have any favorite bits from the first one?
I saw it in college, so I'd have to go back and I'd probably watch part one so that I can understand part two. So I'm not lost.
Yeah. There you go.
But no, it's been a while. So
Have you ever seen the movie?
I haven't. No, I know. I'm definitely familiar with Mel Brooks and a lot of his films,
right,
but not that.
What's your favorite Mel Brooks film then?
Probably Young Frankenstein.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Vom Milk, perhaps. Ovaltine. I can't. It's so good.
But we have a friend of the program, Keith Dion, that he can do the perfect Gene Wilder.
Oh, I love that.
So
I love
good.
Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he does it to the point where he even fooled Tom Cruise.
Oh.
Oh, I heard that bit that I think you sent it to me too, where he had him, Tom Cruise convinced that he was Gene Wilder.
Yeah, that he was Gene Wilder.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Mark, the whole thing is Mark and Brian had Tom Cruise in.
Mm-hmm.
And they said out of all the celebrities they've had, it was really amazing. As big as he was at the time, because Interview with the Vampire was just coming out and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, most of the time these celebrities, they come in with a small entourage. You know, they're publicists, they're so-and-so, they're whatever, you know, kind of thing and what have you. So... apparently, Tom's sister was a fan of Mark and Brian and says, you got to do the show. You got to go on. You know, okay. So he does. Well, when he comes in the room, it's just him and his sister. That's it.
Oh.
You know, so it kind of shows you what kind of guy he is at that point right then and there. No publicist, no nothing, no manager, no agent, you know, because they all come. It was just him and his sister. And so Mark and Brian would try and pull this off with certain people of getting Keith Dion on the phone. They would call Keith every now and then And when they call him, you know, immediately they would go, "Hey, Gene, it's Mark and Brian." And Keith would go right into the Gene Wilder voice. Uh-huh. And the thing was that they didn't know, but Tom Cruise was a huge fan of Gene Wilder. Oh. And they go, "Well, let's call him."
Yeah.
He goes, "You got his number? Oh, yeah. And they call Keith. Uh-huh. And he goes into it. Reprises a role from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah. You know, so many nice things were being said by Tom Cruise about Gene Wilder. Yeah. And then finally, at the very end, it's revealed that they pulled a joke on Tom Cruise because they had to tell him.
Sure.
Yeah. It's like, how do we tell him right now on the air? Is he going to be pissed at us or not?
He laughed.
And he did.
Yeah.
He threw his head back. And just let out a guttural laugh and go, "You guys are toast." And just cracked up to the point where when they did their charitable CD, they wanted to put that bit on there. And Tom gave the permission.
Oh, cool.
To put it on.
Oh, that's great.
Because legally, they have to, you know.
Yeah.
And everything. So they got Tom's permission to put it on there, and it's now one of their charity CDs.
Oh, how fun.
So, yeah, it's kind of cool, and it's just amazing. We'll see if we can play it later on for you so you can hear it.
Yeah,
so it's really funny. It is really, really funny, and to have him, you know, and he did it even with Mel Brooks, too. And he came that close to fooling Mel Brooks, you know. Because you got to remember, you know, Mel's really good friends with him.
He would know,
of course.
Yeah,
and everything. And he goes, "Is this, no, this isn't, wait." Mel was questioning it, and then kind of went, "No, this isn't him."
Yeah.
You know, and then by that time, other celebrities had heard what the guys were doing. So at that point, it was kind of like, okay, we know what's going on. This isn't Gene Wilder at all, you know. But Keith does a great one.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'd love to hear that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll see if I can find it too, where he did something for us, and everything, and yeah, I'll see if I can find that and load it in for us.
Sure.
So, anyway,
should we catch up?
Let's see.
So much has happened.
I know. Have to re-edit the show. Mix it around.
Cut out some of the...
Exactly.
The dead air.
It's been a weird day. Oh, my God. It's been a weird day. So, all right. Cam, let's start with you, darling. How's things going with you?
Sure, yeah. So, I just finished my winter class yesterday, and spring semester starts Monday. Ooh. So, I've got today and tomorrow to...
Party!
Get crazy.
Yeah, you are. Whoop it up.
So, I start here.
Nice.
Yeah, good times.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And we learned something about our co-host today.
Mm-hmm.
She, when she has a mimosa, she does not like orange juice.
Not even a splash.
Not even a drop.
Yeah.
In not the mimosa. Either.
That's right.
She wants pure champagne.
That's right. There's no need.
Why water down the alcohol, right?
Yeah.
Corbel.
What are you doing? Sure.
The good stuff.
That's right.
I can't wait to do shots with her, you know?
Shot of champagne.
Shot of anything, really.
Yeah.
Bubbly.
Yeah.
It'd be a good time.
Yeah.
What is your favorite alcohol? Or do you have a favorite?
Like hard liquor?
Yeah, or anything. I mean.
I love Jameson ginger ale.
Oh,
if
I
I'm
never
like
tried
really just like
before.
Enjoying a drink, but if I like, I usually do like vodka, soda water, and a lime. I'm like really boring. I really don't like sweet in my drink. It's there's already like alcohol already has enough sugar, and like I feel like I can feel
That's
it,
true.
Taste it, and everything. And it just gets too sweet when alcohol's added. So, yeah, I think one of those two would be my go-to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got several. First of all, I'm not a beer drinker.
Oh, okay.
Never like cared for beer. Occasionally, I mean, I'll have one, but it's like, it's got to be hot day, really, really cold for me to enjoy it. Other than that, I could care less.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll pick up a soda before I pick up a beer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I would definitely pick up a beer first.
Yeah, no. I mean, I even pick up like a Sunkiss Capri Sun before I pick up a beer.
Oh, Sunny D?
Yeah. I'll even have Sunny D before I pick up a beer.
Yum.
But I'm a hard alcohol drinker.
Okay.
Give me my tequila, my rum, my vodka, my gin, whatever.
Oh, you don't care.
I don't give all in one even.
Hey.
I'll have that.
The Long
Island. But thankfully, because of some friends of ours, which we need to have on the show soon, Mike and Kate. Now, they brew their own beer.
Oh, cool.
And because of them, because they mostly do like IPA style.
Sure.
So I've tried that. I've enjoyed what they've given me. It's mm-hmm. different. But I learned from them, I like stouts.
Mm. Oh my gosh, I am not a fan of stouts. I have tried plenty. My wife loves stouts.
I love stouts.
Yeah.
And especially the creamier they are, the richer they are, those I love the most. And if they have a flavor, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I love some of the names of the breweries, you know, like Belching Beaver.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
They make the peanut butter stout.
Yes.
That's a tasty one.
Yeah.
Someone has a peanut butter stout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Do you like coffee stouts?
I haven't tried the coffee stouts. Okay. I like more of the chocolate, the milk stouts, whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one that Mike and Kay told me about that comes from Guinness, and it's a milk stout. Mm. And they brought it once over. I can't find that thing anywhere.
Huh.
I don't know why. They can find it out, you know, in their area.
And
they're still here in Southern California.
Distributed somewhere.
You know.
Yeah.
But every time I go to Ralph's or here or there, you know, I can't find it. I don't know what it is, but I can't find it anywhere. So, but I found out I do like stouts, though.
Okay.
But I'm still giving my hard alcohol.
You'd prefer.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah. Party that way. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Bottle of tequila and
I just can't mix anymore. I can't do like hard alcohol and have a beer and, you know.
No, I've never done
that.
The
same like trip, you know.
Yeah.
It's not the thing.
Speaking of trips, I heard you went to you did a little bit of shopping too.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay. My wife and I spent 3 hours at IKEA.
So you got lost
Wednesday.
In the building then.
I got lost in the building. It was incredible. I love that store.
Uh-huh.
And we bought quite a few pieces.
Wow.
And Thursday and Friday night were spent building everything, and it was so fun.
Well, it's kind of like putting Legos together.
That's right.
It's like Legos for adults.
Right. Yeah, it was like a puzzle. Yeah. It's so fun.
Yeah.
Anyways, I did find out, though, at IKEA, I hadn't been there in a while. Obviously, they're known for their Swedish meatballs, right? Everyone loves. But they also have a vegetarian and a vegan option of the meatballs.
Mm.
So,
well, you get lost in there. You know, sometimes you got to know what you want to eat.
That's right.
They got to put a restaurant in there because you get lost in there.
Yeah, exactly. It can take you a long time to go around that store. And halfway through,
and they go, oh, my God, I'm hungry. Hey, look, there's a restaurant up here.
That's right. Fuel for the other
makes
level.
You stick around longer.
Yeah, yeah. So they want to cater to the masses, so it makes sense.
Yep.
You know, the carnivores.
Feed the people.
Yeah. You know, the people who eat the rabbit and the people who eat the rabbit food.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Make it simple.
Exactly.
Make it simple.
But yeah, that was my week.
So how many pieces did you get, though, from IKEA? Like, what did you get, like a couch? Or
let's
table?
See. We got a dining room table. We got, I know. We got some shelving to go in the dining room to hold up
nice.
Some stuff. Yeah. And, like a shelving unit to go in our closet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just some more organizational things.
They are very good at that.
Get things off the counters, get things off the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a New Year thing we're doing too, is like organizing and cleaning up and donating a bunch of stuff that we don't need anymore.
Because spring is around the corner.
Fresh start kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was also a little bit of that good kind of pressure, and that my best friend is coming over to my house today, and she hasn't seen the house since we moved in last year. And I was like, we need to clean and buy things and organize. And so it was like, it just like put the pressure on. But it was that good kind, right? So when I woke up this morning, I was like, damn, this is a nice house. It is cute. It is decorated like.
That's funny. But
we spend the next 50 weeks undoing all the organizing that we've done over Christmas break. So,
but it feels so good right now.
It feels good right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
I'll remember this feeling.
It's like right now we still have our Christmas tree up still. So
we're
going to finally put it away today.
Is there a certain point you just leave it up? Say,
today's
we're getting closer to
no,
December.
No, but my sister does that though. She really? She has a cabin up in Arrowhead, and I guess she has a Christmas tree up year round. And, you know, it's a fake one. So she changes it for the holidays.
Oh, she put hearts on it for Valentine's Day kind of thing?
Yep. And then come Easter, then she puts on eggs and whatever. And, she'll do the pictures.
Yeah, those eggs are hard to come by.
Yes, they are.
I'm not that dedicated to having a tree up all year, but I do put my tree up in September. And I decorate it for Halloween. So it's very, like, Oogie Boogie, Nightmare Before Christmas. And then I go into fall. And so it's, like, fall leaves and little pumpkins. And then I decorate for Christmas.
And by that time, it's really brown.
Hey, it's a fake tree, so we're good. We're good.
Ours is a fake tree, too, but I had to water it last week because it was starting to turn brown a little bit, but it looked good.
All right. Well, there you go.
I just spray painted, you know,
there
green
you go.
Again.
Yeah.
What's any good gardener will do.
Ah, green.
Learn that from the movie industry.
Perfect.
Yeah, just spray
Cinema
it
secrets.
On. Yeah, exactly. So, how about you? Well, excuse me. How about you?
Are you all right?
I don't know. It's one of those episodes. It's one of those shows. It's weird. Anyway, how about you? How was your week?
Doing all right. I'm lucky I didn't get sick this week. I filmed a commercial last Sunday.
Oh, that's right. How'd it go?
It was freezing. It was outside and it was freezing. Every shoot is different. You don't know who you're working with.
You were out in BFE too.
We were
you?
Out in literal, yes, Chatsworth. Also known as BFE. And we show up. They didn't tell us to bring anything. Usually, you know, they tell you to bring something if you need to bring your own clothing or whatever.
Right.
And they just said, just show up, have some boots for, because it was raining really hard the day before.
Uh-huh.
And it was still kind of misty and raining. And we were on a hillside. We were cave.
Oh.
And we were cavemen in this commercial.
Oh, that's right.
And they gave me this little loincloth.
Did you take pictures?
I did, and you're not seeing them.
Oh, come on!
I'll show you. I'll show you.
We got a post, dude.
We signed an NDA not to share anything or post anything.
Well, I didn't sign shit, so send it to me.
Yeah, right. But the little thing was held together by safety pins, and then we were on a hillside.
Oh, my God.
And then... There you go. You can see it.
Not even letting go of his phone.
Okay, all right. But
it's a full thing. It's a full body thing.
It was freezing, and then it started to rain. And then they were like on a time budget, so everything's always on a budget and time limit.
Sure.
At least crop it, so we can get you in the face with the wig.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that.
At least do that.
And so I'll do that. So
but don't ruin the original.
No, I won't. So they just had to keep shooting, even though it was sort of misty and kind of wet, and we were freezing our butts off.
I bet you were.
And something went wrong with every take, so they had to, just one more was like the famous, like, just one more. And we were like, you've been saying just one more
for the last hour.
Yeah, a little while now. So we were out there a while, and I was like, I'm going to get sick. I know I'm going to get sick, but luckily I didn't.
That's good.
Had my apple cider vinegar and pulled through.
Nice.
And got it done. So it was fun. It was fun. Ultimately, you're like, this sucks, and then it was fun once it
ACV.
Was over.
ACV.
Yeah.
Forrest's ACV. Take it.
Yep. My snake oil.
There you go.
Hey, I'll sing. So yeah, it was fun though. In the end,
nice.
How about you?
Last week when we were done with the show, we left to go see a play, which the showrunner basically that both Desi and Lucille Ball worked with, who helped create the show and everything, his son wrote a play, but it was more like a radio drama. In the way it was done. So it was like maybe, I don't know, an hour and 15 minutes or something like that. Oh, it wasn't that long. But it kind of told the whole story of behind the scenes of how the TV show I Love Lucy began.
Oh, cool.
Where it came from, the insides of it.
Inside information.
What people, what even because back in the sponsors, what they really thought at first of the show, and then kind of like, oh, we knew it was going to be a hit. Yeah, you bullshit. Yeah, kind of thing. I don't know about this show. I don't know. You know, because everybody was so afraid of Desi Arnaz playing Lucille Ball's husband.
Because it being interracial?
Yeah.
Really?
Because they felt like you couldn't understand him.
Ah.
You know, so... And of course, they were both big stars in their own right at the time, because Lucy was more the movie star, where Desi was more the music star with the orchestra and everything and so forth. And they wanted to use the guy who did the radio version of the TV show, which is, I think, called My Favorite Husband or something like that.
Oh, right.
And that's where it came from.
Yeah.
But it showed how... They got the deal done with the network and what the network was willing to give up and everything and so forth, because they thought it was going to be a total failure.
Mm.
And they said, oh, well, in that case, let them, meaning Desi and Lucy, take the hit on it. So they were given more control.
And then that led to a success.
Exactly. With the three of them, with the showrunner and them two and everything, on how things were working out. And they were so afraid to, because I guess Lucy Arnaz was born during the first season. So they were able to hide Lucy because they just found out that she was pregnant. Mm. But by the second season, when Desi Arnaz Jr. was born, then they incorporated that Lucy was going to be pregnant in the show. But they could not even say pregnant on television because of the censors.
Right.
It was just so weird.
I bet.
You know, and everything. And a lot of inside stuff, you know, with it that went on. Where they were even talking about how the rerunning of a show would never work. And yet they did that even back then. They reran an episode and the ratings were even higher than when it originally aired.
Oh, so was that like one of the first to do syndication and do reruns? And
right. Yeah. But with syndication within the same season.
Interesting.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, because Lucy needed to take certain time off with her because of the baby and everything. But they would play an episode that related to it almost like a flashback.
Oh.
And incorporate it. So then by the time you come back to the new episode, it still made sense. Mm. And so, but that was the first time they did that. Mm. And they thought, it would never work. Who in the hell is going to watch a rerun of a show they've already seen?
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Yeah.
You know, thus and of course that was the start of it.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
So it was really interesting to watch. If you get a chance to see it, you know, definitely it's called a funny thing happened to the way to the sitcom.
Hmm.
And it's really good. And it's done, like I said, like a radio drama though.
Okay.
So, but it was really good, really enjoyed it. A lot of the stuff I pretty much knew because I'd seen other documentaries on it and everything. But there was a couple of things I'm like, oh, I didn't know that, you know, kind of a thing. But it was done very, very well. Very well. And at point, the guy who played Desi Arnaz, when you close your eyes, you would almost swear it was the real Desi Arnaz. I mean, he had the accent down and everything.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
They did a really good job. It was a real, real good job. So,
cool.
So that was a cool thing that happened. And then... I know everybody can't see, but when we record the show here, we do it in my home studio. So I have all my guitars, my acoustic guitars here. So I just ordered a new preamp for one of my acoustics. And so that came in. So I'm like very, very excited because this preamp, and what is the hell is a preamp? Well, Sean, what the hell are you talking about? When, let's say, Garth Brooks has his acoustic guitar and he's playing it, what a preamp does, it takes a signal from the guitar itself internally. There's a pickup in there, but it only reproduces the acoustical sounds. So it goes through the preamp, which has your EQ in it and everything. So you can kind of shape the sound of the guitar itself and EQ it before it comes out of the guitar and goes into the soundboard, basically, or whatever, you know, you're using. So this one was co-designed by an acquaintance of mine, and it's called a Cool Tube. So it has an actual AX tube, like the old tube transistors, whatever, in it to help warm the tone on it and everything. So it gives it a completely different tonality. So I've got two high-end Takaminis that I've got, and so it came in the other day, so now I can't wait to try it out.
Another toy to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, so my two most expensive ones basically have the Cool Tubes in it, and I use those also for recording, so I can't wait till I start using it live and everything, because it's going to sound nice and warm.
Sounds good.
And, yeah, so I'm pretty excited. So, yeah, new toy.
Nice.
New toy, basically, for me. So, yeah, so that's pretty much what's been going on.
Yeah.
So it's all been good.
I mean, that's good. That's
all
good.
Been good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then also, I forgot, after the play, I had to rush home. And then I also got to do my first recital with my guitar students.
Oh.
So, which was fun.
Cool.
So, Preston, one of my guitar students, we did a song called I Wish Every Day Could Be Like Christmas that we were working on and everything. So, he played it. I sang it. I played along with him. And, got great applause and everything.
Oh,
so,
oh,
which
good.
Was fun. I think I was more nervous than he was.
Oh.
Because I didn't want to mess up for my student, you know, kind of thing. So, and he's so like, you doing okay? Yeah. You all set? Yeah. Everything tuned? Yeah. It's like, dude, leave me alone, old man. You know, and everything. So, but yeah, we got out there and we did it and we did a good job. So
good. Everybody that's awesome.
It. Yeah. So yeah. My first recital is in the can.
Good.
So
yay.
Congrats.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So yeah, so that's all. That's all I got and everything. So, all right. Well, you know what time it is now, guys?
What time is it?
If we can get here, come on.
I hear it.
There it is. It's that time. Time for sports with you know who. Oz, how are you, bud?
I'm great. I'm actually happy to be calling in right now because I have a tremendous Mel Brooks and Spaceballs story.
Oh, dude, tell
that
it.
I can pass along to you. Okay.
Yeah, don't worry.
So, right. So I heard this on a podcast. I forget which one. I listen to a lot of podcasts where, okay, so right in the initial stages when he was conceiving this movie, this parody movie of Star Wars that he wanted to do, he went to George Lucas, right? And he goes, hey, I got a funny idea for a story. I want to know if you're okay with it. Right. And Lucas is listening to it. And, you know, he laughs at a couple of parts. You know, he thinks some of it is funny and whatever. And then at the end of it, Lucas goes, OK, yeah, sure. I'm cool with it. Except you can't let your Han Solo character dress like Han Solo. Like this was his only request. Right. Now, it's always bothered me why that character dresses the way he does, right? You recall the way he does, right? It's just some jacket and some khakis and whatever. The reason is because that's Indiana Jones's outfit.
Really?
Isn't that mind-blowing? Isn't that hilarious? I was like, wow, because I've seen that movie like 7 or 8 times. I'm a total
You're
sci-fi.
Right. It is.
Yeah.
Can't dress him like Han Solo, so dress him like Indiana right. Jones.
Right.
That's a deep joke there. Yeah.
That's a
Isn't
very
that
deep joke.
Freaking hilarious? Yeah. That is like one of the most meta jokes of all time.
Another thing I had heard too was that Lucas requested for him that he could not do action figures for the film.
Right. Well, that was the whole thing about Star Wars.
Right.
Is, you know,
with the merchandise.
People say that changed movies. The way that it changed movies was it changed the movie industry in that within a week or two of that thing being out, there were Happy Meals, there were toys in the store, there were the trading cards, everything. Like literally, it ended up being for that first movie something like 2,000 products. And that was the whole thing about the movie.
Wow.
You know, it made like $200 million at the box office, blah, 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 whatever. But the real secret was in the toys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. And what this results in is, okay, when Jack Nicholson did Batman, he had it worked into his contract that he would get 1% of everything sold having to do with this movie.
Yeah.
Like he made something like $200 million within 2 years of that film's release.
Yeah, yeah.
Just on that, you know?
That'll buy you.
He's still making money off that movie.
Yeah, that was the biggest mistake that 20th Century Fox ever did was give away the merchandise because they didn't think the movie was going to be that good. So they said, yeah, whatever. Okay, right. They're going to, you know, sci-fi movies don't last that long.
Right.
Oops.
Right.
Oops.
Well, that was the thing. It ushered in that whole wave, right? It was still, we were still doing cowboy movies and stuff.
Right.
You know, it's still like Westerns and whatever on TV and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, this brought in science fiction, and now science fiction rules, right?
Yeah.
Science fiction and fantasy rule our entertainment world. So anyway, but except for sports, right?
Yeah.
We talk about some sports.
Yeah. Oh my God, dude, so many good games have been going on. Gee, many crickets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, well, this is it. This is the heart of the season. This is when even sports fans, non-sports fans, I should say, pay attention to football. And I just wanted to say this. You know, I know a lot of people that listen to the show don't necessarily, you know, they're not into sports. They're not into football. I know a lot of people like Forrest G. Hartle, whose football team has been egregiously eliminated even before the playoffs began.
Mercifully.
Poor guy.
But I also know this. Odds are you're an American. You're probably going to be watching the Super Bowl. So what I figured I would do today is give everyone fans, non-fans alike, a team to cheer for in this NFL playoffs, which is beginning in about 3 hours here, actually.
Boy.
Wow. So,
all right.
So
who do we got?
I would like to use you all as guinea pigs. You can all weigh in. All right. Within two questions, your team will be decided. All right. Okay. So first question is, do you prefer may the best team win or the plucky underdog to win?
Hmm.
Which story do you like better?
I'm going to say,
plucky, everybody can win.
Plucky underdog for me.
Yeah. Same here.
Okay. Okay. Is everybody going underdog? All right. Everybody's going underdog. All right. Do you want a huge, tremendous underdog or not necessarily?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. We'll all go not necessarily.
Necessarily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was her approval.
Are you a Cowboys fan?
Yes.
No.
All right. Well, there are two types of people in America. There are Cowboys fans and Cowboy haters. If you are a Cowboys fan, well, you're cheering for them. For this entire run of Dak Prescott's career, this has been about 7 years now. We've been told by fans and also a lot of the experts, this is the year. This is the year for the Cowboys. But the truth is that these guys haven't won a playoff game since 2009.
Yeah.
They haven't gotten past the second round since 1996.
Yeah.
When they were winning Super Bowls. You know, they were the monsters of the 90s.
Yeah, they were.
But this year they have it together. You know, they have a great 1-2 running game with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. They have a flashy wide receiver, CD Lamb, and two of the best defensive players in the league with Micah Parsons and Trevon Diggs. For the second year in a row, they've led the league in turnovers generated. So in other words, They're making these offenses make mistakes, and they're going up against a rookie in the first round. He's been a sensational rookie, Brock Purdy, for the 49ers. So they might really give him a hard time. Dallas might actually go far this year, crazy enough. All right. For those who are not Cowboys fans. All right. Let me ask you this.
This is you first.
Do you prefer history or do you prefer innovation?
Those are my two choices, huh? History.
Mm-hmm. See, you should have said yes to Dallas.
I should have, right?
But no, you want to go. You want to be a hater against the Stars.
I don't want the Niners America's either, team. Oz. So give me some other choice.
All right. Well, here's your pick, Forrest. How about the New York Giants?
Yes.
Nice story here. Yeah. New head coach Brian Daboll, who for 4 or 5 years was the offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills, mm-hmm. and who turned them into the monsters they are today with Josh Allen as one of the stud quarterbacks of the league, really. In 1 year, he has taken the Giants, a 5-win team. This team hasn't won more than 5 games in like 6-7 years now, since Eli Manning, basically, mm-hmm. To the playoffs. With essentially the same team as he had last year, right? So this is a lot of, like, coaching going on here with the same players. Now, they're not going in hot to the playoffs. They're only 3-2 in the last 5 games. But this is the Giants, and historically weird things happen with the Giants.
That's very true.
Yes, especially when they have long odds. Virtually every time they've been in the Super Bowl, 4 times since 1991, you'll remember when they beat those Buffalo Bills mm-hmm. with a missed field goal. And this was Bill Belichick as defensive coordinator shutting down the innovative offense, right? Huge underdogs. They took out the Patriots twice. The hated Patriots, right, Sean?
Yeah.
Hated Patriots. Twice as huge underdogs. Nobody expected it. This could be another one of those Giants teams. You know, Saquon Barkley, who for a couple of years has had a lot of problems with injuries, really looks like that top 5 pick that he was. Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes is really coming on. Ran the ball 17 times in the last game, which was, I think, some kind of record in the playoffs for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like, no, and you know, he hasn't been doing this, but bam, all of a sudden, surprise, this is the kind of stuff that Coach Brian Daboll is conjuring up. So this is your team. Now, personally, I think it's a good idea. I think the Giants are a really good bet. The line is long on this, but if you look at a lot of Super Bowls traditionally, it's one team that you expect and one team that you don't expect. Last year, the Rams were like pretty much preordained to be playing in the Super Bowl, whereas the Bengals were literally one of the bottom five teams in the odds makers' eyes to be in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this tends to happen. So why not the Giants? Why not the Giants? These guys are playing surprising football. There's no clear favorite coming out of that conference, out of the NFC. Whereas in the AFC, you've still got the Bengals, you've still got the Chiefs, and you've still got the Buffalo Bills riding their feel-good story to the Super Bowl. And nobody would be surprised if any of those teams were in the Super Bowl.
Hmm.
Nobody would be surprised.
Okay, so
but if
I've
the
got,
Giants were in,
so I've got Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
You've got New York.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Cameron, you got to choose a team here. Or give Cameron.
Okay.
Give Cameron
all
a
right,
team.
So, all right. So, let me ask you this.
Because she loves basketball. So.
Oh, my gosh. Basketball is my favorite.
She loves
hey,
basketball.
If there's beer, I will watch the game. So.
Yeah.
Right. See?
Because
yeah.
She loves
again.
It. She
I'll
loves
be in the
watching
same
basketball.
Room where the game's playing.
Yeah. She loves basketball, loves it when they hit a home run and it goes into the net, you know? Yeah. So, it's just.
Field goal.
Awesome. Yeah. Field goal.
So,
yeah, she loves it. So, what team should she cheer for?
You got to get it past the goalie.
right.
So. So, okay, do you prefer a feel-good story or an action-adventure?
Ooh, feel-good.
Okay, well, then
chick
you're definitely
flick.
Going... I don't have
right.
chick flick on here. I don't have a... that. Sorry about that. Well, then, obviously, it's the Buffalo Bills. You know, it's all about Damar Hamlin, the safety for the team who had a... cardiac event, a cardiac arrest on the field a few weeks ago. He's been slowly, you know, coming back to getting on his feet, you know, traveling around and whatnot. You know, he'll be there. He'll make an inspirational speech or whatnot. This is the team that you're riding high. Now, pragmatically speaking, it's a bit of a long road. However, they've been given a lot of you know, they're in a good enough position. They're playing the Bengals this week. The Bengals are very banged up, lots of injuries there. Buffalo should win that game. And if Buffalo and Kansas City win, that final game will be played in Atlanta.
Neutral site.
Right, a neutral field, not going to let Kansas City fans rule the day and whatnot. On the other hand, you know, that can only be an advantage for Kansas City because they're going to be real fast on that turf. But the Buffalo Bills are the feel-good story. It's the rare case of the team that was favored at the beginning of the season now being the public's favorite to win this thing. And, of course, you know, the Bills, it's good to root for the Bills. They're the team, of course, that famously lost four straight Super Bowls in the 1990s. They rarely...
Sorry.
They were, yeah, they were terrible.
That's my team.
They have long periods when they're very bad, and then a couple of years when they're very good. So this is a good time to catch them. You know, this might be the year for them. So
and,
it's a good.
And
team
then next year
for.
You'll change. You know, so
right,
you're
sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. If you got no loyalties, I mean. This is a good team to cheer for. They're the sentimental favorite. They're the sentimental favorite.
There you go. All righty. So bottom line now, I've got Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
You've got New York.
Yep.
And you've got
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So two New York teams.
You, yeah, you could have an all New York Super Bowl maybe.
Yeah, so two New York. That'd be kind of cool. Two New York teams could go together.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting.
Why not?
Yeah.
It would be the Bills Giants again. If that's your Super Bowl again, this is a historical perspective thing, right? Because
yeah.
Of course, 1991, that Super Bowl was the year when the greater public was introduced to another one of your favorites, Sean, Bill Belichick. Mm. Right? Because again, he was defensive coordinator in that game, shutting down the revolutionary Bills offense. Right. And Bill Parcells was his head coach, you know, then thought to be the greatest coach in the game at that time, you know, and that sort of that triggered the whole dark empire of Bill Belichick and Brady. So I know, Sean, that you want the Giants to win that game again. However, I think if Buffalo is in this Super Bowl, that's who the nation will be cheering for.
I think so too. I've been watching the games of late and everything, and good God, Buffalo has just been coming up with some amazing plays and everything, and the way they're playing and everything. I mean, they're just really, really. I mean, luck has been on their side, you know, as well as some really phenomenal plays. Oz, before you go though, real quick, I'm sure it's been recently, but if let's say Buffalo and the Giants are in the Super Bowl. When was the last time that two teams were from the same state were in the Super Bowl?
Mm. Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah, because we keep waiting for that Rams-Chargers Super Bowl. I'm trying to think. Probably not. Probably that was the last time it happened. Yeah. Was the Bills against the Giants, because the Jets are never any good. There's very few teams with very few states with two teams, right? I mean, you could have the Steelers versus the Eagles, but that has never worked out.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's just, I just realized too. Yeah, you're right. New York's got what, three teams?
Three teams. Florida has three teams.
Yeah, actually, there was a stat this year where this was the first time, maybe ever, certainly since the 90s, that all three Florida teams were in the playoffs at the same time. Mm. Right. And in fact, you said you've been watching the games lately. Well, last week's game with Jacksonville.
Oh, my God.
Roller coaster.
Dude.
Was just berserk coming back from 27 points down. And the thing was, you know, one of the big crazes in betting these days is live betting, right? The odds will change. The odds will change during the game, right? And so Jacksonville goes down 27-0. I'm like, oh, my God, this is the Chargers. Literally, proportionally between coaching and players, the worst team in the league. They've got – this team has oodles of talent. They have almost as much talent as the 49ers, who probably going to win the Super Bowl this year, you know, against, you know, and the coaches of just, I don't know, the Broncos. I mean, just brutal, just the wrong decision every time. So the Jaguars are down 27-0. I'm like, oh, I should pull the trigger. The odds against them at that point were like 40-1. This is in the first half, right? And they're 40-1 odds to win, and they come back, you know, from this. It was like the third biggest comeback in any game in the NFL of all time.
Yeah.
You know, this is like, what a sick game. That was great. It was fantastic.
When is the Super Bowl? What's the date on that?
Okay. So next week will be the Final Four.
Okay.
And then there's the week off, and then is the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Right. So the next time I speak to you in 2 weeks, we will know what the Super Bowl is, and it will be 8 days after that.
Oh, boy. Can't wait. It's looking good, man. It's looking really
good. Yeah. I can't see a lemon in this whole lot. I can't imagine that the Super Bowl will be a blowout. It's going to be a real unless Jacksonville sneaks in. I could imagine them getting blown out, but we'll see. I think they're the biggest underdog of all.
Cool deal. All right, brother. Thank you so much. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Oz.
All right. Enjoy the football. Enjoy your weeks. Talk to you guys soon.
Will do, buddy. Talk to you next week. Take care.
Ciao.
Good points, Cameron. Good points.
Thank you. Lots to think about.
God.
You know, I forgot to ask him one thing.
Oh.
Who's doing the halftime show?
It's Rihanna. I believe. I believe it is.
Okay.
I just love it because during that whole segment, you were like a deer in headlights going, I don't know what the hell's going on. What are they talking about?
No. I have no idea. I did learn, though, that New York has three teams and Florida has three teams.
Hey.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I learned something today.
Yeah. And California's got three teams, too.
Yeah. Used to have four.
Now it's got three.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But you're learning.
That's right.
Yeah. You're learning, you know.
Sports.
Learning is very good, you know. And
the more you know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I felt good that that was for me.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah, and you feel good about yourself,
yeah,
too, right?
I'm going to leave here with so much more knowledge.
You're going to go buy a Buffalo Bills jersey right after this.
I'm going to wear it next week.
Yeah.
All right, what we got coming up next? Oh, we got our new segment.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on in the world here?
Well, let's find out. Because it is What's Trending with Hanlon Jackson.
That's right. All right. We're going to start with actor Alec Baldwin and armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed will each be charged with two counts of involuntary manslaughter in connection with the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins, who was killed on the 2021 New Mexico set of the film Rust after a gun Baldwin was holding accidentally went off, officials said on Thursday. Santa Fe First Judicial District Attorney Mary Carmack Altois and Special Prosecutor Andrea Reeb announced their decision Thursday morning in a written statement shared with media. First Assistant Director David Halls has already agreed to no contest for the charge of negligent use of a deadly weapon.
There were so many things that went wrong on that set.
I know, it's horrible.
So many things. And I Baldwin, I put definitely partial blame.
Sure.
But 100%. On the armorist.
I know.
It is totally her fault. There are so many things that she did not do that she should have put her foot down with and said, no, that gun should have never been left on the cart and she never should have left it unattended.
Mm-hmm.
At period.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I've worked on other films where I brought my own guns and I had to turn those into the armorist. And I did not get those back until the end of the shoot, you know,
just and like then checks and balances. Like
yeah,
everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even recently, you know, for the film that I shot, you know, I'm the one I was at my own armorist, but my acting partner, the director and Nia, our producer. OK, her producer. I showed each of them how the gun is going to be loaded, how a bullet cannot go in there. And how the blank is made.
Mm.
And I had each one of them fire it so they understood before we even shot a frame.
Good.
You know, and so then we figured out, okay, well, where are you standing? And then how can I cheat the camera so it looks like I'm shooting him, but I'm not pointing it directly at him kind of thing. You know, that was so important to me. I said, this will not be a Rust incident by any means. You know, so I blame it all on the armorist and partially on Baldwin himself, too.
Yeah.
I really do.
Oh, it's horrible.
Ah, all right, what's next?
Okay, next. David Crosby, a folk rock pioneer and one of the founding members of the Byrds and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, has died, his family announced on Thursday. He was 81. Crosby was introduced into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with the Byrds in 1991 and again with Crosby, Stills, and Nash in 1997, alongside Stephen Stills and Graham Nash.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, another legend gone.
Musician.
Yeah, another one gone, man. We're losing him. We're losing him big time.
It's horrible. Rita Moreno is 91 years old, and if she wants to talk about sex, she is going to talk about it.
I love her.
The actress, who stars alongside fellow legends Sally Field, Jane Fonda, and Lily Tomlin in the new sports comedy 80 for Brady, has dished on one particular scene she liked, how it got her worked up in more ways than one.
Uh-oh.
She says, I simply want to say that my favorite scene in the movies takes place in the locker room where the guys are, you know, all of the guys, Moreno said on Thursday's episode of Jimmy Kimmel Live. I entered the room and it's a real locker room. And I swear to God, in seconds, I got turned on. Moreno explained.
Yes, you did.
Moreno explained that the experience not only excited me, but caused a physical reaction, too. She added, I kept grabbing myself.
Wow.
Wow.
Go, Rita.
I know. Get it, girl. 91. That's right.
That's good. That deserves even that should deserve this one. Yeah, this is what was going on in her head right now during that scene.
A little background music of
all of her thoughts. Yeah, she's like, oh, look at, there's Rob Gronkowski. Look at him. Tom Brady. Oh, he's older, but, you know, hey, I still take him.
That's all right.
Ay, ay, que fiebre, ay.
That's what Rita kept saying to herself.
That's right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Next, Netflix is ringing the bell on Cobra Kai, which
no!
is coming to an end.
No!
With its sixth and final season, as revealed by the Cobra Kai season six teaser trailer. The show's final installment will feature the end of the Karate Kid continuation and promises to be the biggest season yet for the show.
All right. That, I hope so. It better be.
Yeah.
It better be. And I've got the trailer here, too. So let's see if we can take a look at this real quick here.
We've been fighting so long. Against each other. With each other. It's hard to keep track.
The training. The tournaments. The rivalries. The lessons. It hasn't always been smooth. But after all this time, we've built something together to be proud of.
So let me ask you, do you have one more fight left in you?
The biggest season. The baddest season. The final season. Cobra Kai Season 6, coming soon.
Oh, God, I'm going to love it. I'm going to hate it, though, as it's leaving, though.
I know. The biggest question, will Hilary Swank finally make a cameo?
Yeah. She's the only one so far from that whole franchise, because she was in the next Karate Kid.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Will they ignore the Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith existence?
Well...
or is that part of the... universe or canon or no?
It's not really canon per se, because if you really, it's not really karate because it was kung fu.
The kung fu.
Hello.
The kung fu.
You know, and Mr. Smith, you know, who produced it for his son and everything, mm-hmm. you know, so his son could be a star. Little shit. I thought Jackie Chan was great in it, though.
He's great.
Jackie Chan's just great.
Yeah, Jackie Chan's. And I mean, it was a retelling of the story, just, you know, instead of being in Okinawa, it's, you know, on the coast of, or on in China instead.
Yeah.
So it's, I guess it's the other side of Miyagi's family. I'm not sure, you know, his mother's side.
Cousin.
Yeah, because, you know, his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather woke up, you know, on the off the coast of China.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, so it married and then came back to Okinawa. So okay. I'm thinking maybe that, you know, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
You know, it's going to make sense to me if it's going to be canon.
You can explain anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's kung fu, you dumbass. You can call it the Karate Kid. Please. You know, good Lord. But I don't think so. But I do hope Hilary Swank comes.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That would be so awesome. Yeah. So awesome to have her in this final season. Yeah. Come in and kick some ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Got to get ratings.
We need a new chick, you know, so yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
We do have one more.
Okay.
Mark Hamill is widely regarded as being one of the best Jokers of all time.
Damn right.
The actor has lent his voice to the clown prince of crime for a variety of games, movies, and television shows. However, following the passing of Kevin Conroy, Hamill thinks this time as the Joker, his time as the Joker may be done. Speaking in an interview with Empire Magazine, Hamill was asked about his portrayal of the Joker and said that he doesn't think he'll return to the role following Kevin Conroy's death in 2022.
Yeah, and that's a tough thing to follow, you know, especially when you've got a partner. Because, I mean, Conroy has played Batman the longest.
Mm.
And so has Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill's played the Joker the longest also. So when you have an acting partner like that,
mm-hmm.
and it changes, you have a special dynamic with that person.
I was just going to say it would change the whole dynamic of the
their
relationship. You
know, and there's some other actors who have done a great job playing Batman.
Sure.
In the anime, in other animation series, but I mean, Conroy will forever be, especially in my mind and a lot of other people's minds. When you read a comic now, you hear Kevin Conroy's voice.
Mm.
You know, that's who you hear, and you hear Mark Hamill's voice as the Joker.
That's classy of him to step down in kind of memory
and say,
of
yeah, Batman. I think it's cool.
Yeah,
yeah, I think that's a nice way of bowing out.
Yeah.
You know, after a 30-year run of playing that character that way, my partner is no longer with me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to stop playing
it. And, like, if there were projects that Conroy wasn't going to be on, even in the past, like when he was still alive, Hamill wouldn't do it.
Right.
Usually.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's like, no, it's just not. It's not the Joker and Batman.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
For him.
That's cool. Exactly.
That's all.
All right. And there you go. That is Trending with Kamala Jackson. Because we're always on the go. I love that. Well, today's also National Cheese Day.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, boy. You like cheese?
I love cheese.
So good.
Who doesn't like cheese?
Cheese doesn't like me, but I love cheese.
Cheese doesn't like you?
No.
Well, why not?
Because I don't know.
We don't have to get into that intimately.
Yeah,
what does it do to you? What
is tolerance in my body.
What does it do to you?
Not all cheeses, but some cheeses.
Some cheeses?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can do it. Just do it.
Are you
I
sure?
know what you're going to do.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you positive?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, now I get it.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you meant.
Yeah.
I'm that way with, like, fast food cheese. Like, I stay away from, like, you know, I like to... That's not even a sound effect anymore. His hand is not on the button. All right.
Someone's passing out mozzarella sticks. Yeah. What's going on?
So we have the top 10 cheeses, according to a poll of Americans' 10 favorite cheeses.
All right.
So let's see if you guys agree with this. At number 10, a fancy one with 3% of the vote, brie, the French delicacy.
Is brie really a cheese, though?
I love brie.
It's got a unique rind, which almost feels like fabric. I never know whether to eat that or not. You don't
eat
the rind,
eat
right?
It.
You don't eat the rind?
You can, but I don't usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that soft.
I dated a girl
cracker.
Named Brie once. I don't know if that's the same, but.
Yeah?
That's
well,
pretty
did
close.
She have a rind? I don't know what that means. All right, so no, number nine.
I could say something else here, like, but.
I was going to say something.
Yeah. I munched on.
Number nine, another fancy
eat
one.
Brie.
Yeah.
Gouda. 4% Gouda. You guys like Gouda?
Yeah, I think it's Gouda.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
I had to.
Yeah. She's just slicing them off.
Yes.
Oh, see what I did there?
Oh.
All
right. Oh, here we go. Here we're getting into it. Number eight, blue cheese.
Oh, love the dressing.
People seem to love or hate blue cheese, but the pungent cheese was preferred by 5% of Americans. That's low for me. I like blue cheese.
I'm a no thank you.
I've never had the blue cheese, like the cheese itself, but like the blue cheese dressing as a kid. Always had that because mom and dad did until I discovered ranch.
Oh, yeah. That was a ranch.
Then it was like, see ya.
Ranch is my life.
You dumped blue cheese.
I dumped blue cheese.
Two timed on blue cheese.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Oh, yeah. If you have a steak and then you get a little blue cheese next to it and just like spread it next to it.
Oh, that sounds
good. Pretty good. Like that soft blue cheese.
Mm.
Yeah, it's pretty
good. Be good, cracker.
Good.
Number seven.
Yeah.
Provolone. 5% of adults chose provolone, another Italian-style cheese on sandwiches and deli platters.
Yeah.
It melts really well. I like provolone. Mm-hmm.
I think that's why a lot of sandwich places use it, because it melts very evenly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Number six, / Colby / Monterey Jack. These two are as American as it gets. 7%, the original created in Monterey, California.
Yeah.
That's why they call it that.
My mom loves Monterey Jack.
Mm. A friend of mine used to say, if you don't make your grilled cheese sandwiches with Colby Jack, what are you doing?
Ooh.
Like, well, wow.
Really?
Okay. Very strong opinion there on that one.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know this, but you know why it's called Jack? Because there was a man named David Jacks who popularized it.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
Well, thanks, Dave.
Yeah. All right, Dave. Way to go, Dave.
Mr. Jack.
Oh, and number five, speaking of Jacks.
Uh-huh.
You know what? Another Jack out there?
Pepper Jack.
Pepper Jack.
Ooh.
Pepper Jack at number five, a spicier variation of the cheese. I do like Pepper Jack.
I do too.
Yeah. Ooh, number four. Swiss. You guys like Swiss?
On a burger with mushrooms, yeah.
Really?
I'll take that.
It's never been a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
Well, so for me, that's kind of, you know, you're talking about the pungentness or whatever. Swiss kind of has that for me.
Yeah.
A little bit. But like
it's
I said, it's got to be on a burger, mushrooms. Yeah, I'll take it with
and
them.
And fun fact, Swiss cheese doesn't come from Switzerland. It was an American-created cheese.
No kidding, really.
Trying to replicate a type of European cheese.
Oh, America.
Oh. Yeah. So it's not. It's a faker.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a phony.
An imposter. Yes.
You phony. It's a phony.
Number three. Here we go. Mozzarella. 9%.
Oh, yeah.
Appetizers. pizza. Melts well. Mild flavor. Favorite with kids. Mozzarella. Number three.
Mm-hmm.
Number two. Good old American cheese with 13% of the vote.
Wow.
Wow. Popular.
On sandwich. And I don't see Kraft singles on here. The, that must be 11, but
missed it by that much.
Number one, you. Which one have I not said? Number one?
Cheddar.
19% of adults is named it their go-to cheese. It gets its name from the Cheddar Village in England.
Oh, okay. Lovely. So now I understand the difference between cheddar and American then.
Correct, yeah.
Because they're both yellow cheeses.
Yes.
True.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't care for American cheese that much.
It's sort of no taste to it, really, huh?
Yeah.
Kind of like the Kraft singles.
Sounds about right.
You know, spongy.
But I do like when I do have cheddar, it's got to be either sharp or extra sharp.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the way I've got it. Mm.
Yeah.
I want to feel that kick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I grew up on mild cheddar cheese, but now I do extra sharp.
Atta
sharp,
girl.
Sharp.
Yeah.
Atta girl. Yeah, you're back in the room.
I like
room.
That bite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about, because it bites back.
That's right.
Yes.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah, you want some flavor in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So happy National Cheese Day, everyone.
You look so that was so confident. Yes, I actually read that. So happy. Wow, screw it. It was too funny. I love it, Bronner. All right. Well, it's also National Squirrel Day.
Aww.
Oh.
Of course, who doesn't love a squirrel?
My dog Bruno loves squirrels.
Oh,
he runs up
dogs.
In our tree.
And just for that, we got a special song just for this segment.
Yay.
There's squirrels in my pants.
Tell me what's making you jump like that.
S-I-M-P, squirrels in my pants.
Ain't got no chickens, ain't got no rats.
S-I-M-P,
squirrels in my pants.
S to the I, to the N, to the P. Then maybe you can be moving like me. Step right over and watch me put it down. I qualify for government grants.
S-I-M-P, squirrels in my pants.
Hypnotize me, put me in a trance.
S-I-M-P, squirrels in my pants.
Got an Aunt Florence living in France.
She can't see the
squirrels in my pants.
Step right over and watch me put it down.
Some strong rapping skills in this.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
If you want to know how I'm doing this,
that's a beat right there.
Yeah.
I like that beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what it means.
S-I-M-P, squirrels in my pants.
Proletarian bourgeoisie.
You don't need an academic degree.
Everybody smell my potpourri.
To the I, to the M, to the P.
Step right over and watch me put it down.
To the I, to the M, to the P.
Step right over and watch me put it down. Down on the sound. Cause you know I got it going on.
S to the I, to the M, to the P.
S to the I, to the M, to the P.
If your pockets are empty, get a cash advance.
S to the I, to the M, to the P.
If you're losing your hair, get yourself new plans. If you're wrestling a band,
good.
Yeah.
Solid.
Wow.
Well, you know those it came from, don't you?
It sounds like a Phineas and Ferb song.
It is a Phineas,
Ferb
song.
I was going to say, I have not heard that one before, but it sounds like it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, that's
how
great.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So what facts do we got?
That's fun, yeah. So I've got 10 nutty
I'm
facts.
I'm enjoying the song.
10 nutty facts to make you appreciate squirrels.
Nice.
Let's see. We've got squirrels can find food buried beneath a foot of snow.
Mm.
Wow, that's pretty deep
that's
for a
far
squirrel.
Down. I know. They're
with those little
noses.
Hands.
Let's see. A squirrel's front teeth never stop growing.
Ooh.
I didn't
know that. I didn't know that either.
Yikes. Okay, so maybe that's like how you know how old they are, depending on like
how long
their teeth are.
So if they're tripping over their teeth,
yeah.
They're really
that's
old.
Old squirrel.
That's an old squirrel.
All right, let's see. Squirrels may lose 25% of their buried food to thieves.
Oh.
Aww.
Those damn chipmunks.
They work so hard.
Damn those chipmunks.
All right, let's see. They zigzag to escape predators.
Serpentine.
Let's see. Squirrels may pretend to bury a nut to throw off potential thieves.
Oh, they're faking it. It's like,
okay.
Oh,
that's, hey. So that 25% could
I
be more.
I think I'm going to bury something over here just in case somebody wants to
Oh,
know.
Look. That squirrel's buried something yeah. over there.
Yeah, I'm gonna fool those chipmunks. Yeah. Stupid Alvin. Especially that Simon, man. Theodore, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing, so that's okay.
Let's see. A newborn squirrel is about an inch long.
Aww.
Really?
Wow.
Just a little bit.
Little baby.
Let's see. Humans introduced squirrels to most of our major city parks.
Really? Oh. Didn't know that.
Oh, interesting.
I thought we just moved into their territory.
Yeah, I know. That's yeah, I assumed we moved into theirs. Let's see. Squirrels are acrobatic, intelligent, and adaptable.
Mm. Oh, my God. I have seen squirrels jump from one of our trees here to another tree.
Do some crazy stuff.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they make it, I throw up a number. You know, to see if they do. Because sometimes they don't make it. And that's even more hilarious. You know, but 2. When they
7.
Do. 2.7. Yeah. It's like, okay, that's a 2.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, that's a 9 right there. 9.5, baby. That was really good.
They invented parkour.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly. Let's see. They get bulky to stay warm during the winter.
Well, that most people sense. Do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Let's see. Squirrels don't dig up all of their buried nuts, which results in more trees.
Oh, because they forget where they put them.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I always try to put little signs for them.
Sure.
So that way they remember
reminders.
Where they are.
Mm-hmm.
You yeah. know.
But, doink, they don't know how to read.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't.
You put
I don't know. I kid you not. There was, I put some nuts out, and the squirrels will run along our fence, mm-hmm. look at them, mm-hmm. and just walk away.
Oh.
It's like, nope, I ain't going to. I actually put a sign, free nuts. Would you believe 3-4 squirrels came over and actually then took the nuts?
Well, there you go.
They can read. That's they right. know what's going on.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it's a free nut and they took them.
They were suspicious.
It does, it says,
they were. Yeah. They really were.
Acrobatic, intelligent, and adaptable. So
there you go.
There you go. And there you go. That's 10 nutty facts to make you appreciate squirrels.
All right.
Happy Squirrel Day, everyone.
Yeah, happy Squirrel Day. Do you guys shop at Costco?
I do.
You do?
Religiously.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Love Costco.
What do you get there normally?
Honestly, I think I get like everything that I need. I get like my proteins. I get like salmon and steak. Uh-huh. And then they've got these chicken bites that are like lightly breaded in the frozen section. Uh-huh. And they are so good. You like pop them in the air fryer for like 8 minutes and they're like delicious. Go with mm-hmm. anything. I just like throw them on a salad
or eat
them with whatever. Mm-hmm. I know. And then, of course, the... what are they called? The samples when you're walking around?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Those are my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Around the hall, leading up to Christmas, there were, every day I went, there were all samples.
You got to have a disguise every time you go up a different time. So, yeah.
And during COVID, they wouldn't have them because of, you know.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it was like, where are they?
Making up for lost time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's our 10 things you should never do at a Costco.
Oh, boy.
According to employees.
Oh.
Yeah.
According to employees.
According to employees, okay.
I'm going
to
say I probably do half of them.
So
let's see how many you do.
Things you should never do. Okay. Not using the go-back carts near the registers. That really annoys them.
Not using the
So, yeah. So, in other words, they hate it when customers leave items like in random shelves or whatever, rather than using a special cart that's near the cash registers to return unwanted items before checking out.
Oh, I see.
That's what they're there for.
Okay.
Oh, so then they have to go down each row and kind of find random things.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't do that.
So definitely use the go-back carts. They're there for a reason.
Okay.
Here's another one. Some staff members particularly hate when customers leave frozen items on unrefrigerated shelves. If you've had second thoughts about that pint of ice cream but don't want to walk all the way back to the frozen section, don't just stick it on the nearest shelf. That seems like common sense, too. Like you're just
some people are stupid,
It bothers me when I see frozen things that are not in the freezer section. Yeah. I don't even work there.
This is something I can kind of relate to, having worked 15 years in retail. Forgetting your membership card is a huge headache for the staff members.
Mm.
Put it in your wallet.
I've been that person. It used to happen a lot. I don't know why.
You think they just remember you and just be like, oh, Camlin.
Oh, Camlin, here you are again. Here's your piece of paper.
Yeah, so, here comes that blonde girl again. it can be very time consuming and a problem to fix. The cashiers don't actually have the ability to look up your member information on the register. Hello? Registers take cash and charge So they have to call a supervisor or a manager to come over to get the member's ID.
Okay, so I will say that I've never done that. I've never gotten all the way to the cashier. Because you have to show your card at the beginning, so I'd realize I didn't have it, and then I'd go wait in the membership line and get it.
True. How are these people getting in if past the door person?
Well,
you got to show your membership, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's exclusive. Members only.
That's right.
Yeah.
Where my members
only
jacket.
But people do. Hey, I just got that.
Hey, don't leave your cart unattended in aisles. Oh, guy. The carts are huge, and they're hard to maneuver. And one employee said, but for the same reasons, you should leave your cart sitting somewhere other people. You shouldn't leave it somewhere where people are trying to get through or get access to. It also stops staff from being able to get to shelves to restock them.
Yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense, people.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes a whole lot of sense. I just don't.
You know, pull over.
Yeah, exactly. You know, do something else, move it elsewhere or whatever, and take care of it. You know, do what needs to be done. It doesn't, I don't know. Yeah, people are stupid. Okay. This would annoy me also, working retail. Don't try to shop past the store's closing time.
Yeah.
Or come in like at 5 minutes before you're going to close and think you're going to get all of your things.
Right.
Yeah.
That is just damn rude. Unless you know I need to get this and that and get the F out.
Right.
You know.
If you can do it in like 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, because when latecomers enter the store just before closing or don't finish their shopping when asked, staff members can't begin their closing routines.
Yep.
This causes employees to get out of work later than normal. They have family too, people.
Yep. That's right. And restaurant industry people. People walking in when we closed.
Yeah.
We still had to seat them. And that's...
Can I get my coffee warmed up, please, while I wait?
Let me go brew a new pot.
Yeah. Just for you. Just for your one cup.
Yeah. Or like decaf. And I'm like, okay, cool. Can you just have water?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Hot water.
I'll bring you something here. Don't leave unwanted shoes or clothing lying around or messily strewn in a pile. The biggest problem area of the store is the shoe and clothing sections. People will make a huge mess, won't clean up after themselves. They'll open up shoe boxes, leave them all over the floor, destroy the neat displays of clothing. I'll see people trying on stuff. They'll put on their sweater or whatever.
Was it me, Forrest? No. is it me who you saw? But I fold it and put it right back
there. Well, you're one of the nice people.
On the pile of mess that's there. Folded one, on the top.
The one folded one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That it's like, I think that's the only thing I don't like about Costco is you don't have changing rooms or to try things on.
Yeah.
People trying them in the aisle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
just takes up space.
Yeah, and you can't put pants over your own pants.
Yeah.
You know, you got to unbutton yours, take yours off, and then go, oh my God, I'm like Commando. I forgot. So, shoppers shouldn't ask employees to honor expired coupons. This is like a no-brainer, people.
Wow.
It's expired.
Mm-hmm.
You're late. You waited too long.
Mm-hmm.
You dumbass. Sorry.
Customers should never leave the bathroom a mess.
Oh, God,
Pick up after yourself, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. People need to, because, woo.
Yeah, this seems like common sense.
Yeah.
But I guess there's people out there.
Don't have any.
Yeah.
They really don't. This is pretty common, too. Never try to hide a spill or a broken item.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's not good, because, I mean, it could be embarrassing breaking an item or whatever, what have you, but fleeing the scene will, of course, only make things much harder for the employees. Customers should not try to hide the fact that they broke something or spilled a food item. Food messes can become more disgusting to clean the longer they're left out there. And, of course, 9 to 10 out of times you won't have to pay for it anyway, so don't worry about it.
And kind of going with that one, don't try to carry or move an item that you could possibly break. There's lots of oversized bulk items, and you shouldn't try and load it on your cart if there's a chance you might drop or damage it. If you need help, just ask.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's simple. Common sense, people.
Mm.
You know, go get some. Damn. Not that difficult to do.
They need to offer a class in common sense in school. Like, just one period of common sense in schools, you know?
Right.
Can they do that?
Here is a screwdriver. Here is a socket. Should you put the screwdriver in the socket?
No.
Let's see Tommy and try it and see what happens to Tommy.
Right?
You know.
You're done eating. There's the trash can. Take your trash and walk it over and put it in the trash can.
Yeah.
Good.
And if you're at home, rinse the plate, put it in the dishwasher. Yeah. Don't leave it in the sink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, unless the dishwasher's full of clean dishes.
I was just going to say that.
Take out the clean dishes.
Yeah, but what if the dishwasher's full?
Empty.
That's what I was going to say.
Turn on the dishwasher. Put some soap
in it. Put it away.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll teach that class.
Common Sense 101.
Fall. Next fall.
Oh, my God.
Units.
Yeah. Do we sound bitter today, folks? I don't know.
I know. It's been a weird day.
It's a weird day. I don't know. All right. Well, we got a new segment coming up. Intern Christopher decided to do something for us that's kind of really cool. And, so we'll kind of let him explain it all as we kind of do this thing. So go ahead and fire it off for us. Ah, great Bon Jovi song. Yeah, I'm loving it.
Well, hello, guys.
Well, hello, Andrew.
Hello.
So, I decided to do a little bit of research because today is the 40th anniversary of Bon Jovi's first album that he released, titled Bon Jovi, you know, the band, because, self-advertising.
Wow, yeah.
So what I have here
Who knew?
Is the top 10 most streamed Bon Jovi songs.
Mm.
So, and now, Sean, I know you're a very, very big Bon Jovi fan.
I have.
Now
I am, because I even got my autographs up
yeah,
there,
you
too.
Do. Now, there should be a piece of paper and pencil on that desk over there on your left.
I see the paper.
And there should be a pencil there as well.
I see the pencil. Wow.
Yeah, I had this prepared.
Look at that. Oh, boy.
So what I want you to do, while I explained how I got these numbers and stuff, I want you to write down what you believe are the top 10 most streamed Bon Jovi songs.
Oh, my God. Okay, this is going to take time.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm going to be explaining things while you're writing.
Right, back in school right. Here. You
yeah.
Got homework to do.
Idea. So, what I did, I decided to... look up the top Bon Jovi songs on different music websites. So I went to Spotify, YouTube, Amazon Music, Apple Music, and SoundCloud. So I went through, I went to all five of those websites and like looked at what the top Bon Jovi songs were on each of those websites. Now Spotify, YouTube, and SoundCloud were the easiest ones because they actually had numbers to give. Amazon and Apple Music, they didn't have the numbers because they don't reveal that information, sadly. So I had to do some math for that.
Yep.
So I took the averages of the other three and then added 55% of that average to the Apple Music total and then 45% of that average to the Amazon Music total.
So this is a scientific study is what
wow, that's math yeah. I can't even do, Intern Christopher.
Yeah, that means I'm smarter than you.
Man, she's got to take her shoes off now.
Yeah, I know. I don't have enough fingers to do that math.
Yeah, so I did all the research and then I added all the total up to get the most amount of streams. And I picked those five because I think we can kind of agree that those would be the places that you would go to get your music, right? At least nowadays, when you listen to music, you probably go to Spotify, YouTube, SoundCloud, Amazon Music, or Apple Music.
Sure.
So that's basically the idea of how I got all these numbers. So, and before we get to the top 10, I do have two honorable mentions that just missed out. So the first honorable mention is Thank You for Loving Me off Crush.
Oh, good song.
So, and the second honorable mention is This Ain't a Love Song from These Days.
Good album.
Because each of those were actually number 10 on Spotify and YouTube respectively.
Wow.
So honorable mentions there.
Okay.
So Sean, how you doing with your list there?
Okay, I've got seven so far. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Do you
want to
try
six,
and fill out
seven.
the rest of the 8, 9, 10, or do you want to just go for it?
You know what? I mean, it's going to be a big pull. I'm trying to think of other singles.
I will say, don't think the songs don't go past the Crush album. So you don't need to think about anything past Crush.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
So, I mean, that probably doesn't help you that much, but it does, but it at least helps you. And make sure to think of all the albums that came out from Crush and before. I probably gave him a clue.
Yeah, it did. Okay, all right. There's got to be. Okay, all right.
And as you, if you can't tell, we're playing Just Older because his album just got older. Haha, funny.
Aha. Mm.
And he co-wrote this with Billy Falcon, one of my favorite songwriters, too. Okay, I got that one. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Ah, I'm one short. Okay, that's fine. I'll go one short. Okay.
So shall we begin?
Yeah. Okay. Now, do I give you mine in order, or are you just going to tell us to see if I got it right?
Well, let's see. When I say, I'll have you say your number 10, and then I'll list the actual number 10. And then we'll kind of go back and forth to see if they match up.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. So for number 10, you can't really think of one because you were only able to think of 9.
Yeah.
So we'll start off. So at number 10, with 377,000 streams is what we'll call them. Off the New Jersey album.
Really?
Bad Medicine.
Wow.
Now, I also have the numbers for each of the different websites. Bad Medicine does come at number 9 on Spotify, but it comes in at 15 on YouTube.
Interesting.
With only 48 million views.
I had Bad Medicine a lot higher.
Yeah,
I would think so. All right.
Yeah, I put it at number 4.
Yeah, that was a big one.
All right.
Wow.
So, number 9 with 408,000 streams off of Slippery When Wet, Never Say Goodbye.
Oh, I can play this on piano.
Huh? Yeah, cool.
Now, this was number 9, also on YouTube, with 131 million views. Number 9 there.
That's cool. And I didn't even think of Never Say Goodbye, but yeah, this was a single.
Mm-hmm.
I had Tokyo Road as number 9.
Oh,
okay.
Early album.
Unlucky.
All right. Well, at number 8, at 655,000 streams, the only song to be off of Bon Jovi.
Runaway.
Yep.
Yeah.
Runaway at number 8.
That was my number 8.
That was his first album?
No. All right. And this is the most popular one off of the Bon Jovi album coming in at number 8.
Can you play this on piano?
So, and it actually came in at number 3 over on SoundCloud. So, number 7 at 851,000 streams off of New Jersey.
I'll be there for you.
I'll be there for you.
Oh yeah.
I was thinking about it, but I wasn't too sure, so I would have put I'll Be There For You as number 10.
Mm. That was the ballad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
At number 6, and this now we finally broke 1 billion.
Wow.
So 1.008 billion off of Slippery When Wet. This is going to shock you. As soon as it, come on.
Wanted, really?
Uh-huh. Mm. Wanted Dead or Alive, number 6.
I had that at number 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes me think of Lou Diamond Phillips and Emilio Estevez.
Well, they wanted to put that song in the first film.
Yeah.
And something happened, they couldn't. So they asked John to do the soundtrack for the second film.
Yeah, I remember it was a huge soundtrack.
Which is why he did Blaze of Glory.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay.
All right.
All right, number 5.
Yeah, number 5 with 1.17 billion streams.
Oh, my God.
The only one off of Keep the Faith. Spotify. Oh, ads.
Oh, when he went through that disco phase, the Bon Jovi disco phase that we all
like. This doesn't sound like Bon Jovi.
Nah, this doesn't. All right, come on, ad. Come.
Yeah, I know.
I don't remember that.
Another. Oh, my gosh. This is just annoying.
Wait, but you said it's off of what album?
It's off of Keep the Faith.
Keep the Faith. It's got to either be the title track or my favorite. Blame It on the Love of Rock and Roll. No,
enough
not Blame
dreaming.
It on the Love of Rock and Roll.
It's time to get Shopify and get serious about selling.
You go.
Intern, Christopher.
I had everything. I had this all put up in a queue, okay?
And then they came in with their ads.
And they came with their ads.
Those bastards. They let us sign.
Like, oh my gosh. And we were going so well.
We were rolling here.
Everything was going so well.
And these songs helped pay for that. What is he own? A soccer team or a football team?
Well, he owned a football team, yeah.
He co-owned a...
The Philadelphia, whatever.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Really?
Bed of Roses. At number 5.
Wow.
Was this from a movie, too?
No.
Oh, okay.
All right.
A movie called Bed of Roses.
I'll have to tell you the story about this some other time behind that, how he wrote it.
All right.
All right, number 4.
Yeah, number 4. 1.75 billion streams off of Slippery When Wet.
Bad name.
You Give Love a Bad Name. It actually came on number 2 on Spotify.
I had that at number 2.
All right. Well, on Spotify, if it was just Spotify, you would have been correct. All
right.
All right. Number 3.
Oh, my God.
All right. So here's the thing about this one. Greatest hit albums. Those are a thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes artists release singles on those albums. Number 3.
Always.
Crossroad. Always.
Great ballad. This was on the chart for 52, almost a year. It stayed in the top 20. Great ballad song.
That's great.
Oh, I love the opening line.
Yeah. 2.56 billion streams.
Wow. This Romeo is bleeding, but you can't see his blood.
Oh, man.
It's nothing but some feelings that this old dog kicked up.
All right. Number 2. So number 2, this probably shouldn't surprise you, with 3.64 billion streams.
It's My Life. The one that Forrest hates.
Ah, shoot.
Didn't say
what
I
happened
hate
here?
It. I just what strongly here? Dislike it.
Something, hold on, something.
Kind of like an REO Speedwagon, you know?
Shoot, something happened here. What happened?
It's all right. Take your time.
All right.
1 hour show.
All right. Well, here we go.
Okay.
3.64 billion streams. Number 1 on YouTube.
Wait, what was number 2?
This is number 2. Number 2.
Right.
It's My Life. Number 1 on YouTube, though.
Yeah.
Over a billion views on YouTube, the music video.
A song,
which is a great music video off of Crush.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Canva's singing it. We need to turn it up. Come on. Come on, Camlin, sing it.
I ain't gonna be just a face in the crowd.
Ooh, she's got the rock and roll voice even.
When they shout it out loud.
Oh, whoa.
It's my life, it's now.
And the headphones came off of Forrest.
I ain't gonna live forever. I just wanna live while I'm alive.
All right. And at number 1, surprising pretty much no one, at 4.19 billion streams off of Slippery When Wet, number 1 on Spotify.
From Rock of Ages.
Whoa. Now,
one of the slowest intros of all time.
Yeah. Whoa, yeah.
Building up.
Feels like the plot of
Rock of Ages. All right, Forrest, here we go.
Yeah.
Whoa. The whole talk box, the song was already recorded and finished, and they were about to turn the album in. The talk box was an afterthought. They went back in the studio, Richie recorded the talk box, and replaced the regular guitar part over that.
This was a huge hit. It was on MTV all the time. When I put on MTV, this video would be on all the time. Gotta be number 1.
And this song just almost destroyed his voice on that tour.
Really?
Because, remember, it modulates up at the end. And, of course, you know, he's in his 20s. He can sing it. He's in his 60s now.
Yeah.
He's got to go out every... How in the hell am I going to sing? And he doesn't like to change the keys that much. He likes to keep it, you know, the way they are.
So that shouldn't surprise anyone. So those are the top 10 streamed Bon Jovi songs. Yeah.
That was good.
So how many did you get, John?
I got Prayer. I matched Prayer. I put Always at number 7. Actually came in at number 3. Wanted came in at number 6. I actually put it at number 3. So there were some that I got, you know, in there, but they were in the wrong spots, though.
Any that you were surprised by?
Never say goodbye.
Never say goodbye. That kind of surprised you there?
Yeah. And I'll be there for you.
And Bad Medicine being so low, being 10.
Yeah.
10.
That's number 10.
Because that was their first single.
That was a big hit, yeah.
That was like their first single off of the album, because then after came Lay Your Hands on Me was the next single.
That's another one, yeah.
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 So yeah, there you go.
Fun fact.
Awesome. Thank you, Intern Christopher. Appreciate that. And, of course, we're running over time. So it only means one more thing is that we got to do. And that is basically the game.
Ah, yes. The game that makes Mitchie Sambora want to join Bon Jovi one more time and kick Felix's ass out of the band. Quiz me.
Quiz you.
Not really. They're both really cool guys. And actually, Phil's a buddy of mine. So.
All right.
Sorry, Phil.
Let's see how we start with question number one.
Yeah, let's get through these quickly. Here we go.
All right.
Question one.
Question one. All right. What famous author had a newspaper called the Daily News?
What famous author? Wow.
Forrest. Mark Twain.
No. It is an author of the Ye Olden Days.
Ye Olden Days.
Sean.
Charles Dickens.
That is correct. Whoa. Nice one. All right. Question number two.
Ye Olden Days.
All right. What year were sweatpants invented?
Oh, God.
Camlin. 1964.
No.
Sean.
Why?
Sean. 1955.
No, Sean is the closest, though.
I don't know. Everything rolls 1955.
Yeah, World War II. Forrest. 45.
No, but Forrest is now the closest.
Really?
They wanted to relax after World
Camlin.
War II.
Camlin. 42.
No, it's earlier, though. It's still earlier.
Sean.
1938. No, earlier.
Wow.
Forrest.
34.
No, earlier.
Camlin. 31. Camlin.
No, earlier.
Sean.
Sean.
25.
No, a little bit earlier.
Wow.
Forrest.
22.
No, a little bit. Well, honestly, like the research said, like, it was invented sometime in the 1920s.
Okay, good enough for me. All right. Move on.
So, move on.
All right, yay.
Jack Lewis.
We all won, though.
People have been comfortable in sweats for a long time.
Yeah.
All right, number three. All right. Which blues artist donated their 7,000 record
collection? Sean.
Sean.
Record collection. Damn it. I thought it was my guitar collection. Record collection. Which blues artist? B.B. King.
To the University of Mississippi, B.B. King.
Wow.
7,000 record collection to the University of Mississippi.
A lot of records.
Loving it.
Question number four.
All right.
What is the average unused amount of money in unused gift cards?
Forrest.
Sean.
$250.
No. Sean?
$5.
No. Forrest is closest.
Ooh.
Okay. I have a bunch of them.
$175.
That is correct. $175 per person.
Wow.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It's like, do I carry this around still? Do I just throw it away?
Do I get a Pepsi?
Do I know if there's anything on it?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Question number five. What war spawned the dueling slogans "Better Dead Than Red" and "Better Red Than Dead"?
Forrest. The Cold War?
That's correct.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, the Cold War. Yeah, good job, buddy.
Better dead than red.
Question number six.
Better red than dead.
Pink O'Connor.
All right. what year did... Oh, I hope that I pronounced this right. Alice Smith and Jones premiere on ABC.
Ooh.
Alice Smith and Jones?
Is that how you pronounce it? A-L-I-A-S?
Oh, Alias.
Alias, sorry.
Oh,
Alias.
Forrest.
Forrest.
That'd be like 02.
No.
The TV show Alias?
Alias, Smith and Jones premiered on ABC. What year did that happen?
Oh, Alias was Jennifer Garner.
That's what I was saying. And I was like, wait, I think there were more words.
Oh. And she was, no, not somebody else. Never. That's Hilary Swank.
I got confused.
Yeah, me too.
Anything?
Nope.
Old timey?
Is it?
Sean.
Sean?
2005.
No.
Okay, move on.
1971.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah, now you guys.
Well, that game
wasn't around.
All right. Question number seven. All right. Who has won the most Golden Globes for acting? There are three possible answers for this.
Okay.
So you just have to get one of the three.
Forrest.
Meryl Streep.
That is correct.
Yay.
Meryl Streep. Tom Hanks and Barbara Streisand. Sean?
Tom Hanks.
That is also correct.
Barbara Streisand.
It's still Caitlin's turn.
Barbara Streisand.
Yay!
Everyone.
Question number eight.
Gets a point.
Yeah. All having eight wins.
Ooh.
But wow. With Marley Streep having the most nominations at 30. Marilyn Streep having the most nominations at 32.
Wow.
All right. Question number eight. All right. What symbol is on the hat of the workers of the Krusty Krab?
Oh!
On the hat?
Yeah, on the hat. The symbol on the hat.
Forrest. An anchor.
That is correct.
Ooh.
Good job, Forrest.
Thank
you. Forrest pulls ahead.
All right. Number nine.
Number nine, here we go.
All right. How many weeks did the Bee Gees album Saturday Night Fever hold number one?
Sean. 27.
No, but that's actually really close.
Oh. Forrest. 25.
No, Forrest is closest.
Camlin. 24.
That is correct. 24 weeks at number one.
You just lurk in the shadows.
I do.
All right. Sweep it up.
It's really helpful when you guys hold. And then I'm like, boom.
Sweep it up.
Boom, number 10.
Get Kicks the rebound.
Really delaying it there. Yeah. All right. Las Vegas's tolerance for numerous forms of adult entertainment earned it the title of Blank City.
Sean. Sin City.
That is correct.
I almost said his name.
Sean. It's my middle name.
I literally almost said Sean. I don't know why.
Well, that is the game.
Hey! Yay!
Then he would have had to answer.
I know. I just get too excited.
Sean, you know it. You're the slut of the group. You know it. Oh, my gosh. What a episode this is. And if you caught the live version of this, well, wow, you're in for a treat. Because everybody else, you're listening to the edited version. So it's going to sound a lot better now. We got to get out of here, guys. So in the meantime, show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram is at yourweeklydose1.
Hey, please check out freelunchthemovie.com when you can.
Instagram, find me at Camlin Jackson. TikTok at It's Camlin Jackson.
And if you want to follow me, Sean, on any social media, it's simply Sean R. Unplugged. And don't forget, guys, you can listen to all of our past shows when you log on to Lime City Radio from noon at noon, Wednesday through Friday. Simple as that. And guys, if you guys enjoyed the show, don't forget, please tell your friends about us, because we can't grow the show without you. So please tell everybody you know and say, hey, this is a cool show, except for this one. Don't listen to this one. Listen to the next one after this. This is going to be a hell of a lot better, I guarantee you. All right. Till then, guys, take care of each other. Good luck, and be nice. Yeah, something like that. Slam. All right.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.